Let's see what we got here. Christian is a church member. Christian is a church member. Does that mean that, you know, if I'm a Christian, I have to join a church? Well, no, that's not what we're saying, right? Do you mean that if I'm a Christian, I have to go to church? Well, again, that's really not it either. A Christian is a church member. You see, if someone thinks that way, that, you know, well, you have to join a church or you have to go to church, then, you know, that person really misunderstands the church. You see, being a member of the church is not an option for a Christian. And that's because when someone becomes a Christian, when someone believes, confesses, repents, and is baptized into Christ, then that person is added to the Lord's church. Acts 2:41 and 47. We become a part of his body, his church. We become a member of his body, of his church. Just think about that. There's absolutely no way that someone can be a Christian and not be a member of his church, of his body. It just, you know, that's just the way it is. First, the book of Colossians. Chapter 1, verse 18, tells us that Jesus is the head of the body, the church. And so if someone were to say to Jesus, you know, I love you, Lord, but I really don't want anything to do with the church. That's exactly like saying, you know, I love you, Lord, but I don't need your body. Your head will just be fine. And if you went a step further, the Bible also teaches us that the church is the bride of Christ. One place we can read about the bride is in John 3:29. And so again, if someone were to say, I'm a Christian and I love you, Jesus, you know, but I just don't want to be a part of the church. That's exactly like saying, you know, I love you, Jesus, but I don't want anything to do with your bride. You know, talk about an insult, right? A few years ago, there was a survey done by the Barna Research Group that said that the United States, out of about 10 million self-proclaimed Christians, they had not been to church in the past 6 months, except for Christmas and Easter. And in that survey, nearly all of these Christians said that their spiritual life is very important to them. But for 10 million of them, their spiritual life had nothing to do with the church. How can that be? Christ and the church go together. It's a package deal. You can't have one without the other. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 plainly says, now you, speaking about Christians, are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You see, we are the church. So being a Christian means that you are part of his body, the church. You are a member of the church of Christ if you're a Christian. And so a Christian is a church member. And that means that each and every one of us is very important to the existence of the Lord's church. Just like all the parts of our body are important, right? Think about it. Not too many of us can easily function if we all of a sudden lost a part of our body. You know, we would eventually get used to it and compensate. Fortunately, in the church, members can be added to the body to replace missing parts. But again, the body won't be the same with a different part. But really, that's a part of the beauty of the church when you think about it, because the body's organic. It's living, and it can grow and reshape. But the body is still the Lord's body, because Jesus is the head. So while the body might change, the head stays the same. Because he purchased the church with his blood, Acts 20:28. Jesus owns the church. Jesus is, it's his church. He said so in Matthew 16:18. And so God uses his church to his glory, Ephesians 3:21. God uses his church, and again, that's you and me, as Christians, to spread the gospel so that his body can grow and fill the earth, you see. Now, since we mentioned Ephesians 3, if you maybe happen to started to look that way, let's take a look at a little portion of text in Ephesians 3. And this is just verses 10 and 11. Ephesians 3, 10 and 11 says that his intent, speaking of God, his intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. When I read that, I think, wow, that's incredible. The church is the means through which God has chosen to do his work on earth. He didn't leave it in charge of a government or some king or something like that. He left it in charge of us. The church is Christ's body here on earth now to complete the work that Jesus began in his physical body. The church is God's messenger, therefore, on earth now to spread the gospel of Christ. The church is you and me who are Christians, keeping the body going throughout as long as the earth lasts. But even with these clearly stated truths in God's word, we always seem to come across those, I don't know, anti-church thinking people. And it might be in the news, you know, some atheist having some sort of a field day about some rights or something or other, or maybe it's on Facebook, if you're on Facebook, or it may be in a magazine at the checkout stand, or just from people that we come into contact with every day. And even sadly, there are those who claim to be Christians who want little or nothing to do with the church. But if someone is a Christian again, then they will be concerned about Christ's bride, the church. The church is important, and we need to be active participants in it. And by God's design, we also need to be busy encouraging those who have not made the Orangevale Church the place to assemble and serve and worship, just like Jeff made that choice last Sunday. Jim, did you mention that Jim Place membership? Okay, well, if y'all weren't here last Sunday, Jeff, where are you? Jeff Shepherd Place membership last Sunday. So we want to acknowledge that again. And if you haven't taken a look at the directory, his information's in the directory that will be eventually produced. And if you haven't checked the directory yourself, please do that so we can make sure we have a good listing of everyone's information so we can get in contact with each other. That's what it's about, to try to be in fellowship with everyone else within the body. We need that information. Okay, well, while God tells us in his word that it's important to be an active member in the body of Christ, I thought that we'd go ahead and spend the rest of our time this morning not necessarily talking about that, but talking about some of the wonderful benefits to being an active member in the Lord's church. The first is that we'll live longer, believe it or not. One study showed that attending church increases the lifespan of the average person about 7 years, in some cases 14. You know, just think about the things that coming to the assembly does for us spiritually, and relaxation and all sorts of things, and helping us to get our priorities straight. Let's face it, doing the will of God is often equated with long life in the scriptures. Passage that comes to mind is over in Deuteronomy 6:2. And since God planned and purposed the church for you and me, he wants us to be here. It's for us, you know, to gather together and to worship him. You know, God could have set up a different system where we didn't have to get all together. But you see, he wants us to get all together. He wants us to assemble. We're not to give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. But we're to encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10:25. They had a problem back in the day, the first century. Got the problem still today. People think, you know, we'll just kind of quit going. Don't need to go, you know. Well, that's not what God says. He made it for us. And so the more people go to church, we see indicated from all this, the less likely they're to die sooner than those who don't go to church. Sounds like a good thing. A church member will also live better. Think about it again. The Christian lifestyle encourages healthy habits and attitudes. Potlucks with large desserts aside, you know. Just take a look over at Galatians chapter 5. And there we see the contrast, right, between those who live a life of sin and those who live a spirit-filled life in Christ. Starting there in verse 19, we read about the acts of the sinful nature or the fleshly nature. He says those are obvious, Paul says. It's sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, and drunkenness, and orgies, and the like. That's the way the world lives, he says. He says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But then he says in verse 22, the way a Christian lives, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit who dwells within every Christian, is displayed in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Just feels good to say those things, doesn't it? Again, he says, against such things there is no law. Clearly, the Christian lifestyle is so much healthier than that of the world. It's one of the reasons why we live longer, you know. Think about it. We strive to be good stewards of our bodies, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, because the Spirit dwells within us. And we forgive better, and we release any sort of bitterness that ruins our souls and our health. And it's not just our physical health that's better as a Christian. We also have better financial health, too. And that's because we understand the relationship between God and money, Matthew 6, 24. And the fact that the things that God blesses us with, well, we're to use those things to bless others with. And so we become better managers of the possessions that God has given us because our priorities put God first. And so church members tend to be less stressed about money because we have faith in God to provide for the work that glorifies Him. Again, a church member will live better. A church member will also laugh more. I like to laugh. I like a good story. Some of us laugh more than others. Some of us a little bit less. Some of us guffaw, chuckle, or sound like a goose. But anyway, we sing songs like 587, Sing and Be Happy, right? Or, you know, we don't sing this as a congregation, but we sing Devo songs like I've Got the Joy, 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 Joy Down in My Heart, you know? Yeah, there. Remembering what Jesus said in John 15:11, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. And so as a church member, we can rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, right? Philippians 4:4. That's another one we need to add to our Sunday morning collection, possibly. That we used to have a little blues songbook around somewhere. We'll have to dig that up again and maybe make some additions and collect a few songs here and there. Anyway, again, a church member will laugh more. A church member will also love more. Of course, what God means by love and what the world means by love are different things. In the gospel, we find that true love solves mankind's biggest problem, our sin problem, John 3:16. And so it's from Jesus' sacrifice, His selfless act of giving Himself for you and me, that we really know what love is. 1 John 3:16 plainly tells us this. He says, Scripture says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. He says, that's how we know what love is. This tells us that love is really an act. It's not a mere feeling. It's a wanting and a doing the best for the ones that we care deeply about. And for the rest of our lives, you know, we'll continue to grow in love and to try to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, Ephesians 3:18. But, you know, it's not just studying about love, right? Just like John wrote in 1 John. It's really about trying to apply the full meaning of love, including our loving God and through obedience, and our loving one another through giving and sacrifice. Okay, again, a church member will love more. A church member will also learn daily. You know, even though some Christians have been Christians for decades, I sometimes hear, I don't know all that much about the Bible. I don't know if I could teach because I don't know any of that stuff, you know? Well, you see, you know, I'll admit, the Bible's a big book. You know, we got 66 books all together, Old Testament, New Testament, right? And no one can know everything, although I do know some know-it-alls. But even they can't fully know the mind of God. So we shouldn't feel alone in saying, you know, there are certain things I don't really know. You know, I'll admit, sometimes there are some dark places in Ezekiel and Jeremiah right now. I really enjoy the Jeremiah class we're going through in the library Sunday mornings because it's helping to fill in those little blank spaces. You see, that's what it's all about, you see. You know, we need to make every effort to add to our faith goodness and to our goodness knowledge. You see, into that knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Scripture says, so if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1:5 through 8. So we learn daily. So we should take advantage of those opportunities that we have to study the Bible together. Again, we meet at this building 5 times most weeks. That's Sunday morning Bible class, Sunday morning assembly, Sunday evening assembly. We meet Wednesday nights, and we meet Thursday mornings. Okay. There are other times that we can meet, you know, and we come to the building, and at the building we provide teachers to teach us so we can sit down together. And as we hear from our teacher, the environment allows us to share our thoughts and to look it up at other scriptures, and we do this in community, and we grow that way. That said, you know, you don't have to learn only at the building. Now, we make a mistake sometimes like that, you know. Say, well, I go to Bible class on Sunday, and that's it. You know, but you know, we can read and study our Bible just about anywhere. And while we know all this, you know, the thing we've got to do is do it. Yeah, do it. Again, a church member will learn daily. A church member will also work harder. Work harder. Contrary to what some people out in the world might think, the church is no hangout for loafers. You know, the Apostle Paul said it this way in 2 Thessalonians 3:10. He said, if a man will not work, he shall not eat. The church is not a place for handouts. You think, whoa, aren't we supposed to help people? Well, yeah, but it's not just to continually to provide people to do whatever it is they want. Come on by, oh, you know, I did this, and you just keep, you know, doling out whatever, all right? Christians are encouraged to work for what we have and to share what we earn with those in need, okay? Remember the blessings of what we have. Our blessings are to bless others with, all right? All right, but still there's this earning aspect of the whole thing. You know, we bless those in need who can't work, you know? And maybe who are widowed, who are orphaned. That's the type of religion God likes, James says. You see, Christians are called to be better workers than those of the world, not to be sloth, you know. Over in Colossians chapter 3 and verses 22 through 24, we read, whereas Christians, and he refers to slaves and other things, are to obey your earthly masters in everything. You say, well, where are their slaves today? Well, just look at your job, okay, but that's another story. But do it, and not only with their eye, and not only when their eye is on you, to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, the scripture says, as a Christian, work at it with all your heart, as if working for the Lord, not for men. You want to do a good job for the Lord, right? Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you're serving. See, when a Christian serves and works like the scripture says, you know, we do work harder. And it becomes a light to those around us, and it shows the credibility of us as followers of Christ. And so again, a church member will work harder, be more ethical, and do a better job, because our boss is a carpenter from Nazareth. All right. Church member will also grow bigger. And we're not talking again about waist size or anything like that, or even bigger as in height, but bigger as in better. In Colossians 3:10, again, in the book of Colossians, Paul says that he prays for the Christians at Colossae, asking that they may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. And so as Christians, as we continue to live and work and study in the faith, we grow wiser. We grow more mature, more peaceful, more influential, more at home with God and our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, more determined to right the world's wrongs and live according to the highest possible standards, to be more compassionate and, dare say, even more adventurous with our faith. And as we become more adventurous in our faith, as we grow and mature, we'll start to see actually the church begin to grow bigger as more and more souls are reached for the Lord, just like those scattered during the early persecution of the church. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord, Acts 11:21 says. A church member will also improve family life. A family without God is, well, a godless family, you know. And that's because God is our creator. And so God not only made the church, but he made the family. He made the first family. Not Bob and Michelle, but, you know, Adam and Eve, right? And having designed and made the family, he gives us instructions throughout the Bible how to have a good family life. And one of those passages is Ephesians. And this is Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 1 through 4, where the scripture says that children are to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. And really, this is the pattern that God has set. God is the creator. He is the father. We're to honor him. You see? He says in the rest of that verse, this is the first commandment with the promise, talking about the Ten Commandments. That it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children, except instead bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So again, placing this task upon fathers to train and teach the children. And for those parenting with single homes, well, then mothers, do the thing, you know. Parents, do that, right? Now, it's not to say that Christian families don't have problems, because we do, you know. We're still people. Christians are forgiven, not perfect, right? But Christian families have a greater chance of succeeding than those marriages and families without Christ. And there are many reasons for the success of the Christian home. Again, Christians have higher moral standards, and Christians place more of an emphasis on love and giving than upon selfishness and getting. Plus, we have, you know, shared family activities within the church. You know, we do gather together for all sorts of things. So we have a support group where we come and encourage each other. Remember Hebrews 10 again? Along with a wider circle of support then. Of friends who are supportive of us in our faith. Plus, we have this promise of a wonderful future with God. And speaking of a hopeful future, a church member will, lastly, land safely. And what we mean by that is that they won't crash and burn. You know. And that's because we believe that God once, somewhere around 2,000 years ago, sent his son to rescue a sin-stained, dying world. And we believe that he'll again send his son to bring us all home. We mentioned some of this last week, but again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 16 through 18 summarize it all nicely for us. There Paul writes, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever." So no matter what tomorrow holds, floods, quakes, global freeze, global warming, take your pick for the day, I guess. Famine, obesity, take the other side again, I don't know, revolutions, terrorist takeovers, whatever. God has promised that he'll never forsake us. But that doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. There's no promise there, just that he'll not forsake us. God has promised us that he's coming back for us. God has promised us to take us home to be in heaven with him. Again, a Christian is a church member. And that's by God's design, and that's good. How good is it? Well, a church member will live longer, live better, laugh more, love more. A church member will also learn daily, work harder, and grow bigger. Grow better, stronger, faster. $6 million man, sorry, 70s kid. All right. Plus, a church member will improve family life and will land safely on the other side. Remember, the church is the body of Christ. Church is the bride of Christ. So how can someone be a Christian without being a member of the church? God says you can't. That's because when you become a Christian, you automatically become a church member, a member of the church that belongs to Jesus. You see, the underlying issue with all the people who want Christ but not his church, or have either left the church or are who continually hopping from church to church to church, is the fact that they're looking at the church for what they can get out of it only. And when someone like that gets it in their head that the church isn't meeting their needs, then they just quit. Rather than trying to say, hey, what can I do to make this happen? What can we do to make this happen? And just remember that Jesus designed every one of his followers to be a part of a local body of believers, Colossians 2:19. That means as an individual, no one can become the person that God really wants them to become apart from the body, the church. And so, you know, when you think about all that again, if you're here today and you want to be a member of the church, all you need to do is put Christ on in baptism. And for those who are here and have already done that, well, then you're really already members of the church. But if you want to be identified with a local body of believers, then it's important, like Jeff did last week, to say, hey, you know, I want to be a part of this so we can work together. You know? The encouragement, again, for you and me already here is to remember how great it is to be a member of the church and to let other people know how to join us. And it's at this time, of course, where we go ahead and ask that if anyone would like to come forward and obey the gospel or ask for prayer or maybe come for some other reason that we might be able to help out with, that you would do that. So if you're subject to the invitation, come on down as we stand and sing the song that was selected.